Butt cracking is when you're saying to yourself, well, I'd really like to be able to, you know, have a five-figure payday, but I really would like to have a multi-six-figure or seven-figure business, but.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness and your creative genius and in your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And my beloveds, I hope that you know, I hope that you realize you carry around an immense amount of wisdom. And this wisdom has a level of uniqueness, a level of unique genius that is only yours. So how do we take that wisdom and turn it into wealth? Wealth that is your wealth, wealth that you embody, and wealth that can never be taken away from you. Doesn't that sound delicious? Does it not? We are here to discuss this exact topic here with my beloved friend, Angel B. Hartwell, who is the Wealthy Life Mentor, the Healthy White Life Mentor. She is also an internationally known speaker, transformation artist, and the Be the Change movement to watch. She also has she's a creator and executive producer and host of the 13-time award-winning and Apple number one internationally ranked Wickedly Smart Women podcast. Wow, that was just a mouthful for me. Angel, my love, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Laura. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to get to know you, and it's a pleasure to be here on Wealth Embodied. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So let's start off first with, what do you define as wisdom?
Beautiful question. So wisdom is actually the combination of three things. Number one, it is the gifts that are inherent within you that you came to this planet to deliver. And at the core, that's the purest form of wisdom. And real wisdom is the marriage of that, which is within you that you came to contribute, coupled with every single skill that you have ever acquired over the course of your lifetime and the learning from every single experience that you've ever experienced over the course of your lifetime. So marry all three of those things together, and that's where the wisdom lives.
Wow, that's beautiful. And it's so powerful because it really does say that each one of us has our own signature of wisdom. Is that what you have experienced both for yourself and your clients?
Absolutely. In fact, our wisdom doesn't always get activated as soon as we embody, as soon as we incarnate. Sometimes our wisdom doesn't get activated for many years. And for me, my own experience was I spent 20 years in the real estate business. My last project was 51 single family houses, 56 apartments, and an office building. I was the national chairperson of my trade association, and then I had a spiritual awakening. And I spent, you know, most the first, you know, 38 roughly years of my life being conditioned, being educated, being, you know, expected to behave in certain ways. And with this spiritual awakening, as a result of all of that conditioning, I really didn't know who I was or what I was here to contribute. But as a result of that spiritual awakening, that created the opening. It opened me up to understand that there was way more to me and to my life and to, you know, the wisdom that I was carrying that I had no idea about. And so when I had that spiritual awakening, the performer in me arose and began to express. The speaker in me began to express. The healer was activated. The author I started writing. And so all of these latent parts of myself started to emerge as a result of the spiritual awakening. And part of my journey, and it's the journey for many people, is that we do actually have to have space and give permission to these latent parts to show up and to express so that we can get to know them, so that we can get to know ourselves in those ways. And also to dismantle some or maybe all of the cultural, societal, familial conditioning that we have had applied to our life from the time we came out of the womb.
I think it's such an important point because many times these spiritual awakenings too happen to people, you know, let's say after their 30s. And they can often feel like, well, gee, I wasted half my life, or I wasted a third of my life, or, you know, it's too late now at the age of 60 to be really connecting to this wisdom and bringing it forth into the physical reality. And however, it's never too late, is it? And it's always perfectly timed. But just as you said, it is about part of all of those skills and life lessons. It's also sometimes about the programming and then the disillusion of that programming, because where we really get to who we are sometimes is, I'm not that, right? I'm not that. I'm choosing not to be that and letting that voice roar inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, for me, that was part of my journey. And it's also part of the journey that I work with my clients on and help them to move through. And that is, you know, that's what I did. When I had my spiritual awakening, I was a leaper. I completely took the leap into this vast exploration of not only my spiritual gifts, but also all of these other latent gifts, the author, the speaker, the performer, the healer, that I didn't even know existed. I gave myself permission. I gave myself space and time, and I gave myself, you know, financial support. I gave myself financial support by accessing my home equity line, by accessing a variety of credit lines of credit, by beginning the process of setting myself up to start serving people with my wisdom. So I did. I ran as far away from the real estate business as possibly could. And in that process, I discovered so much about myself, but then it became clear in that process that I had thrown out the baby with the bathwater, and there were aspects of that life that needed to come back in to be married with my esoteric expansion so that I could actually create wealth, as opposed to utilizing everything I had generated in the first 40 years of my life to fuel a wild orgy of experience without, you know, without a care at all. You know what I mean? So it became important to do both, to give myself the space and time and financial support to explore what was recently discovered in that phase of my life, but then ultimately to bring back some of the structure and some of the skills, certainly the skills and some of the strategies and awarenesses from having a multi-award winning career in the real estate business, where, you know, there were certain things and certain structures that are basic to converting your wisdom to wealth. Like, you have to have an offer, and you have to sell the offer, and you have to market what you're offering, and you want to have a strategy for your business so that you understand when you get up every morning what you're aiming towards. So yeah, it's definitely a process, and it's a process that you can go through alone or you can go through with help. And it was really only when I started to invest in help that I was able to say, oh, okay, we need to marry these two together.
Yeah, I love how you show those two different parts, because I think a lot of us go through that when we have those spiritual awakenings, that we're having to give ourselves permission to really explore sides of ourselves that we never knew, to really break apart the rules and the boxes we put in ourselves in. And then simultaneously, structure is important, right? It's mending, blending the feminine with the masculine. We need that structure. We need those systems. We need those strategies. We have to bring them back in to really create and build that wealth. That's definitely something that I personally experienced as well. I want to ask you, as these gifts were really coming online for you and you were just, you know, leaping and diving headfirst, did you have any questioning of, you know, I hear often, who am I to be serving humanity, right? Who do I think I am to be bringing this quote unquote wisdom forward?
Absolutely. Well, so part for me was that I definitely got external pushback. I got a lot of external pushback from family, from friends, from former colleagues, from my old business partner. Like, I got a lot of external pushback when I popped open. Because when you pop open and when you give yourself permission to say, yes, I'm going to leave behind all of this and start exploring all of this, it makes people incredibly uncomfortable who are invested in keeping you in the form and in the structure of the relationship that they had with you. So I had a huge amount of pushback externally. And internally, I definitely felt, you know, for me, I felt like I must do this work. It was an undeniable calling for me to start serving primarily women back then, helping them to feel great speaking and sharing their story and you know, also feel great asking for money, feel safe and powerful asking for money was what I helped many people with for, you know, probably the first 10 years of my online journey into supporting people to be able to convert their wisdom into wealth. And what I ended up, you know, really discovering for myself was, yes, there were sometimes the questions of, you know, when I got the call, like, what? And for me, I definitely felt like I was supposed to serve people all around the world. Now, this was back in 2008-ish timeframe where I got that call. Several years after the spiritual awakening, several years after I had explored all these, you know, latent parts of myself and given them air and given them water and given them space to develop, you know, I went through a phase where I had my own art gallery and healing arts center. And then I got the call to speak and to share my story and to support and work with and consult with people all over the world. And it was definitely all over the world for me. So I knew I was not serving people at the local Rotary Club rubber chicken luncheon. Like, I went to a couple of those rubber chicken luncheons, you know what I mean? In my pantyhose and my high heels, and I spent the money for the babysitter, and I drove 50 miles into Boston area to go to a rubber chicken luncheon of, you know, the local things that were going on. And I would speak to people and they'd give me the look like, what are you talking about? Like, they couldn't grok at all what I was talking about. And it was not a fit for me to spend any of that time, any of that energy trying to take people who did not have a world view that like I had and who were much more locally focused. And, you know, there's a place for everybody. For me, it was about being a global voice. And I even had people in, you know, an early mastermind I was in when I said, yeah, I'm supposed to be heard by millions and I'm supposed to help other people be heard by millions. And she looked at me and she was a marketing person and she looked at me and she said, you can't do that. And I was like, what are you talking about? I can't do that. Well, nobody's going to want to do that. Nobody's going to want to buy that. So I had to keep reaffirming myself. You know, I mean, I know what is on my heart to do. Only you know what's on your heart to do. And the work is to learn how to affirm yourself again and again and again. And then ultimately to surround yourself with people who are going to support you, who are going to be invested in you, to invest in support, and to be discerning when input comes in like that, to say, oh, yeah, that's not mine. That's actually hers. she couldn't see herself being heard by millions. And so therefore, you know, who was I to say that I should be heard by millions?
Yes, that inner authority and being able to hear that inner authority. And it's so helpful to always turn first and foremost to that, validate that yourself. And then, as you said, seeking support, seeking mentors, seeking people that can help you to remind you to stand in that is always so powerful in these moments where we have those reflections of people going like, yeah, you can't do that. Because, right, all the great people who've done all the great things, they've all been told you can't do that. Like every single one of them over and over and over again, right? We have to believe in ourselves. How do you help people to believe in themselves and to be able to connect to their inner wisdom? Because sometimes it's not so obvious.
Yeah. Well, one of the first things I do with people when I take them through my Be Heard by Millions process, which I have a book called Be Heard by Millions and Live Your Destiny. The first step is the be, which is believe, right? And one of the very first things that I do is I point out that in the word believe, right in the center of the word believe is the word lie. And so I invite them to begin the process of looking at where they are lying to themselves or where they are being lied to by their environment, by the people that are surrounding them. So I want to share a quick story about one of my clients who came to work with me a few years ago. This woman had single-handedly, with no money of her own, bought a $48 million company, ran that company, ended up getting pushed out of that company, then started another company with her husband, construction company, ended up getting pushed out of that company because she went through a divorce. And then ultimately, when she came to me, she was called to start working with people around this idea of modern consciousness. And she had invested at least $100,000, maybe more, in various coaching programs, including some of the very big names, biggest name coaching programs. And in those big, big coaching programs, she was being coached by the coaching team. And what the coaching team was telling her was to go out and get 10 clients at $250 an hour. When she came to me and she invested almost close to $100,000 to work with me, as soon as she came to me, I said, honey, you are the reason why you're not getting clients is because it's completely and totally incongruent. This pricing is completely and totally incongruent with the value you bring just by being who you are, just because of the fact that you have already in your lifetime literally bought a $48 million company with no money of your own. That alone has huge value in energetic value. You can feel it as I'm sharing this with you, Alara, correct?
Yes.
And so I said to her, you can't possibly do deals to bring people in to work with you for $250. An hour. The universe is preventing that. It's literally preventing that. And so I worked with her to help her. And part of the way I work with people is I'm a boutique consultant. I work with people high investment, but it's one-on-one because I'm going to go right to the core of what the hell is going on here and illuminate it. And within months, I had her built out a whole, I worked with her to build out a whole offer, a five-figure payday offer. But we also strategized. We did the strategy for her consultancy, and then we did the strategy for her 2.0, how she was going to scale the whole thing. So we literally built out the roadmap and the blueprint for two businesses. And very shortly thereafter, she had a $12,000 client. Now, she went from $250 to $12,000, which is still not quite where she needs to be financially, but it's much closer energetically for the value that she brings. So, you know, it's important to have the people around you affirm you and be able to look and see where's the lie here. The lie here was that her time was only worth $250 an hour, right? So that's one of the things that we do to help people believe. And the other thing that I do is I go through what I call butt cracking. And butt cracking is when you're saying to yourself, well, I'd really like to be able to, you know, have a five-figure payday, but I really would like to have a multi-six-figure or seven-figure business, but I really would like to answer my calling and convert my wisdom into wealth, but. And so we do a lot of butt cracking too.
I think it's so beautiful how, you know, oftentimes, specifically people who are just starting, maybe opening their business or coming into entrepreneurship or even just selling their own wisdom, right? In whatever context that is. We often believe, well, I got to start low, right? And build up the value or build up my experience or whatever it is. And as you were very clearly able to reflect to that woman, that had nothing to do with it, right?
And that was exactly her thought form. She was like, oh, no, I can't. I have to. Those were exactly her thought forms. I have to go through this whole, like, you know, rigmarole of initiations through the lower realms to get to where I already am, right?
Yes, and raise our prices slowly or whatever it is. And without, again, recognizing that our wisdom is unique, I think that's a really important attribute to notice. How do you help people to see their wisdom? Do you find that sometimes clients can't see their wisdom? I mean, she couldn't clearly to some degree, but how do you help them to see that?
Yeah, well, so in addition to believing in yourself, you know, there's seven steps in the Be Heard by Million solution, and that's all in the book. And I'm happy to offer that to your listeners. We'll get to that at the end. One of the things that we need to do when we're inviting in the discovery of the wisdom is go through the process of actually tapping into the three things I told you really make up your wisdom. What is the calling on your heart? You know, let's take a moment and sit down and get clear. What is the calling on your heart? I'm working with a woman right now who is in the med spa industry. She is known as the sculptor. She's that good. Okay. She has been able to create million-dollar med spas, and for years she's been giving her guidance for free to people in the med spa industry. And one of the things that she came to me with her calling on her heart, was to disrupt and elevate the entire med spa industry so that people aren't disfiguring other people. She's like got the whole way of injecting properly so that you're beautified, not distorted. And most of the people in the med spa industry are just like, oh, yeah, just come in and get big fat lips or whatever. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of damage being done. And her calling is to elevate the entire industry. And one of the things that, you know, we've been doing together, because her calling is huge, it's so huge that part of our work has been about, okay, let's break this down and structure it in a way where we can actually get some traction in this area and this area and this area. And let's put this other thing off to the side for a little bit, but we know where we're going. Ultimately, where we're going is transforming the entire med spa industry. So I was able to support her with the calling that she has, but now we're also down deep in her expertise, her skills, her experiences. And she actually, within weeks of when we first started working together, signed on her first $500,000 client. So
the audience is really receiving your stories. And I want to point out to them that, you know, these callings that we feel in our heart, it's very easy for the mind to dismiss it and be like, well, that's ridiculous, or that's too big of a vision, or who do I think I am, or whatever it is that the mind wants to say. And yet, as you're expressing very clearly through these stories with your clients, when people say yes to that, guess what? It shows up, right? They create wealth because it's literally who they are in their wisdom.
Exactly. And it's not only who they are, and it's not only that they're creating financial wealth, they are also creating what I call a wealthy life by design. And the wealthy life by design is you'll have wealth in a number of areas. And in fact, I'm on a summit that you are hosting. And on that summit, I actually talk about the 5 ways that we ward off wealth. And I also talk about my definition of what a wealthy life is. And it's really the sum total of all of the resources that we have, not just the financial resources. Unfortunately, when people think about wealth, they immediately put money as the number one thing in that equation. And really, wealth, the word itself, the root of the word is well. And so we want to be well in every area of our life, not just financially. And so I want to just share one other quick story about somebody who came to work with me a year ago. She went through my big revenue breakthrough, small group intensive. And at the time when she first came in, she's an incredibly powerful healer. Like, she is in a lineage of medicine women. She's out in Hawaii. She's doing a lot of land work. She's working with Pele. She's like this incredibly powerful medicine woman with a Cuban lineage as well. She's got multiple lineages that she's working with. And she was, charging about $2,000 to work with her through her, what she was offering, her original offer when she came to work with me. We went through a 30-day intensive, the big revenue breakthrough. And by the end of that intensive, she had made her first $10,000 sale. And she sent me a picture of $10,000 in cash that she received. $10,000 in cash. I just heard from her last week. She just landed her first $150,000 client. Wow. So she went from $2,000 to $10,000 to $150,000. And she's essentially offering the same outcome for her work. However, she is now really clear on the value that she brings to the table and how important it is for her to charge sufficiently so that she is able to be well and spend the entire month of September or October in ceremony. Not thinking about getting clients, not thinking about marketing, not thinking about where the next paycheck is coming from, because she has sufficiently been rewarded financially to do the medicine, that she's here to do. And it is in doing the medicine that she brings even more potency to the clients that she works with.
I also, you know, well to me is also the well, like the well of the water and, you know, the bottomless well through which we can continuously pull our resources from. So I love how you speak to well, because I also speak to wealth in resources and the well, the infinite, ineffable, inexhaustible well.
Yeah.
So you're in the summit and you're speaking to the 5 ways we ward off wealth. So I just want to say to the audience that, yeah, the summit is going on right now. You can still register for it and have access to the recordings. There's so much beautiful information and 21 presentations in total. The 5 ways you ward off wealth. Can you give us just a little snippet of that so that you entice our taste buds?
Let's see. How do I want to do this without like taking and pulling back the entire kimono? Because I really
people to
join the summit, and not only join the summit, but to get the VIP upgrade. So what I'm going to say is that I have actually discovered that there are 5 ways that we ward off wealth. They all begin with the letter W. And if you get the VIP pass, you get, in addition to my conversation about the 5 ways that we ward off wealth so that you can start to self-diagnose, if you access the VIP pass, you also get my Welcoming Wealth mini course, which is a $297 value. And in that, you get the 5 antidotes. So I'm just going to say that and leave it right there and encourage you to join the summit and register for the VIP pass so that you get the whole enchilada.
That's delicious. I will say to the audience of the 5 ways you ward off wealth is this wonderful teaching that is super simplistic. And yet when you teach, when you're taught it, when you receive it from Angel, it really opens up your awareness to how you are doing these things, how you are unconsciously warding off wealth. And I love how she brings in the antidote. So you'll definitely want the antidote because you will recognize these ways in your life that you're unconsciously warding off wealth.
So I have one thing more to say about that. I will drop a little more of a seed. One of the ways that we ward off wealth is by waffling. Waffling means being indecisive. So if you're on the fence and feeling indecisive about whether or not you'd like to register for this summit, get off the fence because waffling is warding off wealth for you.
Love it so much. I love your magic with words, Angel. You're so good with words. It always lights me up. And so, my love, obviously the audience can join the summit. How else can people connect to you and your wisdom?
Great. Well, I mentioned before my book, Be Heard by Millions and Live Your Destiny. It was a number one new release in 3 categories. It's still ranking on Amazon. And we just won the Regal Summit Book Award, I think, or the International Impact. We just won a book award for the book. I think it's the International Impact Book Award. We just won that award for the Be Heard by Millions. And you can access the whole book with my compliments at BeHeardByMillions.com.
Hey, wow. Okay, beautiful, everybody. I hope you sign up for that. Angel, as always, it's been such a treat having you here today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Alara. It's been my infinite pleasure to spend time with you, as always.
Always. And to the audience, make sure that you don't waver, that you sign up for that summit, as well as get Angel's book so that you can have more clarity about how to convert your wisdom to wealth. Speak to millions, make your impact, be heard, my loves, be heard. The world needs you. As always, I am so grateful for your presence. Thank you so much. Be sure to share this episode. And until next time, take care.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.